Welcome to the Murder and Wine Club's captivating new series, The Quick Sip Mysteries, where we explore some of the world's most intriguing and unsolved true crime cases, all in the time it takes you to drink your cuppa. I'm Kat Park, and today's Quick Sip is something straight out of an Agatha Christie's novel, involving a British Army lieutenant, a partridge, and a cryptic telegram. So grab your cuppa, settle in. This is the mysterious case of the poisoned partridge, exclusively on the Murder and Wine Club podcast. The date, Saturday the 21st of June, 1931. The location, Blackdown Army Camp, Surrey, England. Lieutenant Hubert Chevis is a young artillery officer in the British Army. His wife of 6 months, Frances, is down from London, where she lives with her two children from a previous marriage. Frances regularly visits her husband, mainly at the weekend, whilst Chevis is stationed in Surrey. It's 7:15 p.m. Hubert and Frances are sitting down to an early dinner. They are planning to watch The Military Tattoo later that evening. The couple have enjoyed a sociable afternoon, hosting an impromptu cocktail party for their friends. Little do they know, this seemingly ordinary meal will turn into a series of dark events. On the menu this evening, a fish starter followed by Hubert's favourite bird, partridge. This is to be served with potatoes, peas, and bread sauce. The meal has been prepared by their cook, Alan Yeomans. Nicholas Bulger, their batsman, serves the couple the main course. He places two roasted partridges on the sideboard, where Frances carves the birds, handing her husband a plate of the sumptuous partridge meat. Hubert tucks into the bird, but, after the first mouthful, proclaims the bird tastes awful. He asks Frances for her opinion. She does so, touching it with her tongue. Frances, indeed, thinks something is not right and replies it tastes fusty. Also complaining she cannot get the taste out of her mouth. Refusing to eat one more bite, Hubert summons Bulger and asks for the birds to be taken away and destroyed. He is concerned his dogs will eat it otherwise. Not long after ingesting the partridge, things take an ominous turn. An alarmed Frances immediately calls Bulger to the dining room. There is something seriously wrong with Hubert, who feels unwell. He is gripped by an intense cold. His face has started to turn black. Bulger calls for the local doctor, suspecting a case of food poisoning. Not long after the arrival of the doctor, Frances too falls ill, doubling over in severe pain. By 9:45 p.m., over 2 hours after the couple has sat down to eat, the situation gets progressively worse. Hubert is in excruciating pain, has lost the use of his legs, and is now convulsing. The severity of the situation is such that a second doctor is required. Both doctors agree that Hubert and Frances need immediate admission to Frimley Cottage Hospital. Medical staff work tirelessly on both Hubert and Frances throughout the night, performing artificial respiration on the lieutenant, but to no avail. Lieutenant Hubert Chevis dies an excruciating, painful death on the 22nd of June at 9:50 a.m. Frances miraculously survives. Due to the nature of Hubert's death and his young age, an autopsy is ordered. What they discover is far more serious than anyone had initially thought. Hubert's autopsy unveils a staggering revelation. His death resulted from asphyxiation induced by 2 grams of strychnine discovered in his stomach. The police launch an immediate investigation delving into the mysterious entry of strychnine into Hubert's system. The pressing question looms: is this a case of murder? Hubert's inquest begins on the 23rd of June, but is adjourned until the 21st of July as the police pursue their investigations. Various items, including drainage water and the remnants of the meal, are seized from Hubert's residence. Unfortunately, the partridges could not be examined, as the cook had already thrown them onto the fire. As the investigation unfolds, the police explore the distribution of strychnine in the Surrey area, a poison easily obtainable from the 1930s chemists. They meticulously scrutinise the poisons register of chemists in Frimley, Farnborough, Bagshot and Camberley. The investigation draws a blank. Adding to this mystery, the police struggle to uncover a plausible motive for murder. Lieutenant Chevis was well-liked and sociable. On the surface, Hubert and Francis appear to be a content and happy couple. Francis emerges as a prime suspect in her husband's death. The police discover she recently altered her will a few weeks prior to Hubert's death. The police soon uncover Francis's substantial wealth, inherited at 21, with ownership of a Knightsbridge apartment and a chauffeur. Financial gain does not appear to be a straightforward motive in this case. Yet, there are widespread rumours of romantic involvements between Francis and her chauffeur, among others. The police investigate but fail to substantiate. Could this possibly be the motive? Having been married before, the focus shifts to Francis's ex-husband. Yet, a solid alibi is provided, leading to the exclusion of the ex-husband from the investigation. The investigation takes another sinister twist. On the 24th of June, 2 days after Hubert's death, Sir William Chevis, Hubert's dad and retired judge, receives an eerie, if not taunting, telegram that simply reads, "Hooray, hooray, hooray." It is signed J. Hartigan. And on the back of the telegram, an address for the Hibernian, a prestigious hotel in Dublin. What adds to the ominous nature of this telegram is Hubert's death has not been made public. How did someone in Dublin learn of his death? And what is the motive behind sending such a callous message to Sir William? The Irish police, after being alerted, inquire at the Hibernian Hotel, finding no record of J. Hartigan staying there. However, luck favours them when they obtain a description of the man who sent the telegram. Further investigations reveal that a man matching the description purchased strychnine from a South Dublin chemist 4 weeks prior to Hubert's death. Could this be the individual who deliberately poisoned Lieutenant Chevis? On the 2nd of August 1931, the Daily Sketch editor receives a postcard just days after a photograph of the original "Hooray, Hooray, Hooray" telegram had been published. The postcard reads, "Dear Sir, why do you publish the pictures of the Hooray telegram? J. Hartigan." The plot thickens even further. 2 days later, Sir William Chevis receives another ominous and taunting message. It reads, "It is a mystery they will never solve. J. Hartigan."
Serious question. How would your life look if a year from now you were a millionaire? In 2021, over 4,000 people joined Joanna Hunter's My Million Dollar Experiment, and one in 287 of those people became millionaires. Want to find out more about the experiment and how you can join? Click the link in the show notes below.
Lieutenant Chevis's inquest reconvenes on the 11th of August, drawing in a packed courtroom. The deputy coroner opens the proceedings, stating that the evidence strongly suggests the presence of strychnine in the partridges. Unfortunately, since the birds were destroyed, an unfortunate event, it's challenging to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. An expert from the Home Office examined the shipment of partridges from which Hubert's birds originated, confirming that they were free from poison. Home Office analyst Dr. Riefel, who examined the partridge shipment at the butcher's, along with Hubert's stomach contents and items around the Chevis residence, verified the presence of 2 grains of strychnine in Hubert's stomach, The minimal fatal dose is half a grain. Importantly to this case, he detected a small amount of poison in both the dripping and the gravy. The certainty is that the poison was administered via the birds. The pressing question, how did this occur? Various scenarios are put to Dr. Riefel regarding how this might have occurred, including the birds ingesting strychnine through their feed. However, this theory is ruled out, as the partridges would have died before reaching the slaughterhouse. Dr. Riefel does affirm, though, that if strychnine had been injected into the birds prior to being roasted, the poison would endure even through the cooking process. During the inquest, it is also revealed that the birds delivered to Chevis's residence had been stored in an unlocked meat safe outside the house. The cook, Ellen Yeomans, confirms there was no lock on the meat safe, allowing anyone to access the partridges. Positioned at the side of the bungalow, the meat safe offered an opportunity for tampering with the partridges without detection. The coroner deemed this scenario highly likely, suggesting that the poison might have been added while the birds were being stored in the meat safe. In his summary, the coroner expressed certainty that Lieutenant Chevis had succumbed to asphyxiation from consuming partridge laced with strychnine. However, there was insufficient evidence to determine how the poison entered the birds or who was responsible. The coroner also concluded that there was minimal evidence to distinguish whether this was accidental, intentional murder, or a case of manslaughter. The jury returned with an open verdict. The mystery surrounding Lieutenant Hubert Chevis's death remains open to this day, with more questions than answers. There is, however, one final point. Look at the name, J. Hartigan. Rearrange the letters, and you come up with Raj Hating. Considering Lieutenant Chevis's father having connections with the British Empire as a judge in India, this opens up another avenue for investigation. Sadly, that's not for today. And now, it's over to you. We'd love to know your thoughts on this mysterious case. Head over to our Facebook group where a full debrief is taking place. Join us next time for our next Quick Sip episode, delving into the gripping details surrounding the A6 murder, a notorious case intertwined with the controversial story of James Hanratty and its profound impact on the criminal justice system. If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and review, and remember to tell your friends. Thank you for listening to the Murder and Wine Club podcast. Your support means a lot to us. Check out the links below to discover ways how you can continue to support us, ensuring the creation of high-quality podcasts. See you next time.